extract.
Back on the stands that the ladies have duplicated for us. Why no Christmas or Easter? And explains the unbiblical origins. I thought I'd better take a moment and explain this to you, because some of you, like myself, have been raised in an environment you wouldn't understand perhaps what's going on here this morning. For nearly 400 years, there have been the Baptists that have not observed special days. And we have it in our Confession of Faith, and it goes like this, and I want to share some time what it says here. It says the only acceptable way of worshiping the true God is appointed by himself in accordance with his own will. Consequently, he may not be worshiped in ways of mere human contrivance or proceeding from Satan's suggestions. Visible symbols of God and all other forms of worship not prescribed in the Holy Scriptures are expressly forbidden. And then it goes down here, it says about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Explains why 52 Sundays of a year we honor the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe strongly in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says in the 22nd chapter on religious worship and Lord's Day, it says, from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, the Sabbath was the last day of the week. But when Christ's resurrection took place, it was changed from the first, changed to the first day of the week, which is called the Lord's Day. It is to be continued to the world's end as the Christian Sabbath, the observance of the seventh day, has been abolished. And so 52 times a year we commemorate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, as we have even this morning. So perhaps if you have further thoughts about it, it is not our gospel. And if you perhaps don't see it, we don't ostracize you. We don't, but it is a thing that the Lord needs to reveal to us as to the way he wants us to worship him. I share that with you, and perhaps you would like to look into that a little further.
Run.
Our blessed Lord, as this is your precious word, we've come to that place where we need to see that as Christians, those who really love our Lord Jesus have a meekness. We need to understand what it's all about. We ask that you would help us because none of us have arrived. We ask our Lord Jesus that he would teach us by his Spirit, the Spirit of God, and that we might learn this morning and desire to be like Jesus, where we would just have sung that we are like to be like him. And we pray, our Father, that thy Spirit would indeed be in our midst. Speak to your children. Speak to those who know not Jesus Christ savingly, and they see the need to come to him and to know him. For we pray in his precious name, who loved us and gave his life for us. Amen. Please be seated. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5 is the text for this morning. I long to be like Jesus, we've just sung. Meek, loving, lowly, and mild. And they are the characteristics of our Lord Jesus. He is to be our model. Our model. We're in this section on the Beatitudes, on the Sermon on the Mount, introduced these chapters 5, 6, and 7. Our Lord Jesus had the multitude around him. He went up on the mountain, he sat down, and he carefully explained to them what it means to be a child of God through faith in Christ. And if you want to know what it's all about as far as the Old Testament and as the New Testament, you get pretty well covered if you would study chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. There are 8 Beatitudes in the first 13 verses, 12 verses. That's a description of what a true Christian is. It's something that is done supernaturally. So you might as well put it on your head if you think that, well, this is what I'm going to do then. No. There is human responsibility, but you first of all, this has to be done supernaturally through a new birth from heaven. They are the characteristics of Christians, these first 12 verses. I have portrayed it as going up a ladder. There's a logical sequence if you're going to go up a ladder. All these Beatitudes are found in Christians. You say, well, he is a meek and I'm kind of poor in spirit. No, no, no. All of you who know Jesus Christ savingly, you have these characteristics. But there's an orderly sequence. You must learn, first of all, verse 3. Verse 3 is the first rung of the ladder. If you're going to climb the ladder, just find out what a Christian is really like. And it speaks about the necessity of being poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We try to show that that does not mean material poverty. It's speaking of poor as spiritually bankrupt. I use the illustration of a beggar who may be a paraplegic, no arms or no legs, and he sits somehow and has a container there, and he cries out, alms, alms. Spiritually speaking, if you don't see that you have nothing in yourself in order to gain any credence with God, that you're a good person, you can get to heaven, Lord. If I do right, I get to heaven, Lord. No, no, no. It has to be that you see that spiritually, self-righteousness and all your goodness is as filthy rags, and you need Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and life. There's no other way to the Father. Have you been there yet? To be spiritually bankrupt? That's what verse 3 is. And verse 4 we looked at, and it tells us that we must mourn. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Well, mourning. Are you a spiritual mourner? It has the idea, so I have nothing that I can in myself to get to heaven. But do I really see myself as a lost sinner? You know, intellectually, I could go over the commandments with you. And if you had some doubt that you were a sinner and say, now, have you ever taken anything? Have you ever stolen anything? Say, yeah. Have you ever had impure thought? And so I can say, you know, you're a liar, an adulterer, and all those things. And that's good. But I want to tell you something, friends. If that's just intellectual, say, well, yeah, yeah. If that's just intellectual, this verse 4, it's not intellectual. It's a man who sees, a woman who sees, I indeed am a sinner. And I see that I'm outside of the fold of God. And unless I have something done about these sins of mine, I'll die and go to hell. Mourning over our conditions and mourning over the conditions of the world around about us, our families, our loved ones, our neighbors, our country, our world. Don't get caught up in acclimating yourself to the sins of this world and say, well, that's just the way it is. Verse 4 says, God says, blessed is the person. Verse 4, blessed is the person who mourns over one's own sins and the sins all around about us. And he says, there'll be comfort. Comforted. I know that there's joy now. Joy unspeakable and full of glory if you know the Lord Jesus, Christians. But it also speaks about the comfort that comes for the future, our time with a new heaven and new earth, which we're talking about this morning. Oh, the days coming when there will be no more of these things that you and I experience. No more sickness, disease, death. All the no mores of Revelation 21. The former things are passed away. Now let's take the third rung of the ladder. And that's verse 5. And this morning it says to us that we need to understand, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, we probably ought to look at that and see, first of all, like we have the others, what it is not. Some people are naturally shy. Some people have a mildness temper, a disposition, personality, a natural quietness about them. They're not loud and they're very soft people. That's not verse 5. That's natural. We're talking about a spiritual meekness, which is given supernaturally. This is not something you can say, well, I'm going to be a nice person now and I'm going to do what's right. That's fine, but that's not what it's saying here. The Lord is saying there are those who are meek, and they're given this meekness by the supernatural power of the Spirit of God. You know, I would have you also, it's just not a weakness. Oh, please get that straight, will you? Verse 5 is not talking about weakness. Blessed are the weak. It's not that the word meekness and weakness are not the same. In fact, from the Greek word for meek here is prous, where we get our English word prostrate or to lay flat, to be humbled. And that is, blessed are those who are prostrate or prous, and to know what it is to be humbled, and involves a gentleness. This is a great word. I hope you'll get it. And if you have this characteristic, my friend, and you should, you say, well, it's not perfected in my life. Well, don't despise the day of small things. You have a little of this. Be grateful. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And by the way, it's not a cover-up for laziness. Some people are just, they just go about minding their own business, kind of like it. You never do much anything. That's not what that word meek means. It's not a natural disposition. You know, if you have animals around, some animals are quiet, nice, and other ones growl at you. And there will be those who try to horn you. It has somewhat that connotation. I'll explain it to you. If you've ever been around horses, you have to break them. And that's not easy. Most horses will give you a rough time, but there may be one that isn't much of a job. But once a horse is broken, that when they're really broken, you can let the grandchildren around them. To me, that's a beautiful horse. Then a little child could even walk underneath their legs. I wouldn't want that to happen to most horses that I've been around. I've had horses tramp on my feet when I was a boy and I had barefooted, and they'd just stand there, and you can yell all you want to. When they want to, they'll take their foot off the big horses. No, but it's a broken horse. You can ride them, whatever you say, and just pull the reins a little bit, and you don't have to hit them. You don't have to stick your spurs in. They just are well broken. That's the idea of meekness, that you have strength. God has made you. He's given you a spirit, soul, and body. You have a body, but I tell you what, friend, there's a lot of people running around that haven't been broken, and their spirit's not been broken. You say a cross word to them, you may get knocked in the face, and they'll chew you out. I remember coming through Hughesville some years ago, and it was warm, and my window was down in my car, and there was a girl on the sidewalk, and a fellow who took one step down, and I never heard anybody talk in all my life how she really ripped him up and down. And I'm telling you, friends, that disposition is not what a Christian is to have. You need to have a Christian meekness, and God tells us what it's all about. I want you to get it. You know what it is to fly off the handle? Well, I'll say, yeah. I know what it is to fly off the handle. Well, this is the opposite. This meekness is something that God gives to us, that we don't have that disposition. You just say one kind, unkind word to us and we fly off the handle. That's not the characteristic of a true Christian. So we know what it's not. Now, what is it? I've been trying even to give you that. It has to do with one's will. Sure it does. Your self-will towards God. There are people who say, there's no God, and I have a free will, and I'll do what I want to, thank you. No, that is not what verse 5 is saying. Your will towards God and ill will towards men has to be changed. You get that? Ill will towards men and your selfish will towards the things of God have to be changed. And this is what it's saying. The third characteristic of a real Christian is that they have Christian meekness or spiritual meekness. All right, an example, please. A window to open up, perhaps, what it's all talking about, and we'll turn to Moses. Now, if you go back to the Old Testament and the book of Numbers, you'll tell about the meekness of this man, Moses. And the 12th chapter of Numbers at the very beginning of the Bible there. And it says Moses was a meek man. Really? Show me how it operated in his life. Well, he's the leader of the Israelites. Verse 12, chapter 12 of Numbers, verse 1. There's his sister and his brother. Who? Miriam and Aaron. They spake against Moses. Miriam is the one that helped Moses in that little boat, you know, ark, for the queen of Egypt. She's the one, Miriam. They spake against Moses, brother and sister. Wow. Why? Well, because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. By the way, she's a Gentile. And she's black, probably. And so Sister Miriam and Aaron said, hey, listen now. Hey here. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not also spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now, the man Moses was what? Very meek. Get it? Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. So he's a very meek man. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed from the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And then you know the rest of the story. He did heal Miriam. What's the point here? Point is that Moses was a very meek man. Now, put yourself in Moses' place. God's called him to lead the people of Israel. And sister and brother, they talk like this. Wouldn't there be a possibility that he's saying, Listen, you two, you better straighten up. I'm telling you, God's called me, and if you don't straighten up, something's going to happen. Now go behave yourself. Do what you're supposed to do. Give him a real readout. He did not do anything like that, did he? Didn't do any of that. He just took it. And God heard it. And God was angry. God knows the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. And he hears what we speak to one another. And Miriam became leprous. Now, a leper in that day, that meant the end of your life, so to speak. You go out and you stay away from everybody. Separate from everybody. Moses prayed for his sister. Yes, Moses. You know, the people of Israel even treated Moses. They want to stone him. He said, You bring us out here. Here comes Pharaoh's army. And here's the sea. And he said, What in the world's going on? And they got all excited. And he said, You bring us out here in the wilderness and we're thirsty and we're hungry. What kind of guy are you? And they want to stone him. But it says Moses was meek. He did not fire back. Is it the same word in the Hebrew, the Septuagint, as it is in the New Testament? Indeed it is. The word meek is pros, the Greek, the Hebrew into the Greek. That is to be prostrate, to lay low. Well, all right, do you have another window? You can show me what meekness means? Yes. If you go to Matthew 11, well, we're back in Matthew now. Matthew 11. And what do we find here about a model, a weakness for Christian meekness? And so we turn to the 11th chapter. We note verse 29, our Lord Jesus speaking, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Our Lord Jesus was submissive to the God the Father. He was without sin. And yet, you know what they said? He's demon-possessed. Yeah, people talk that about the Lord Jesus. He pals around with sinners. The ungodly. It says he's meek. Even upon the cross, when he was suffering, they said horrible things about him. Did he fire back? No, he wasn't even angry. But oh, did he suffer. He suffered your hell and my hell. He took your sins and my sins. If you know that you're a sinner. A lot of people don't know they're sinners. They're pretty good people. Lo, and he had a humble view that he demonstrated even though he was sinless. He's a model for us. I desire to be like Jesus, we've just sung. So, what is it then? There's a person who doesn't fire back. There is self-restraint. Let me give you an illustration I read. A rather sizable chap. In the old days, he used to go around selling Bibles. We don't do that now, do we? But they were kind of rare, and it was a legitimate business, and they'd sell Bibles. And this man went to a house, and the man of the house was angry. Really angry to think that he'd come and try to sell him a Bible. An ungodly person. And he just tore into him like he wouldn't believe. And in the midst of all his anger, he hit him on the face. Now this was a rather sizable salesman. And he just took his shirt and he rolled it up like this. Now fellas, you know what that means. I am strong. You know? He said, but I'm told, because I know the Lord Jesus, that I am to turn to the other side. Go ahead and hit me. Whoa. Are you sure you got this right, preacher? This business of spiritual meekness. In other words, there'd be no problem to take care of you, but I know the Lord Jesus. And he said, go ahead, turn the other side. Now that man, I am told, sometime later, they met again. And it was in a narrow space. You know, you go through narrow spaces, and they were face to face. And the man who said to him, I want you to know, I'm sorry. He said, could you accept it? And that we would let it go, let it be. And reached out his hand to shake with the man, the salesman. Well, trust the incident was true. But that's the way God works in this business. You want somebody to run all over you? No. But this generation, this evil generation, may try to run all over you and may do it. You're not to fire back. Even though you have the mental capabilities and the strength to defend yourself, there is to be self-restraint for the cause of Christ. Does that mean that we are, shall I say, wimps? Christians are to be wimps? No. That salesman, he wasn't any wimp. And I want to say this. My wife would verify these fellows in the church here. They're not wimps either. Fact of the matter is, we believe that we ought to defend our families. If any man did not provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. I got news for you. This may seem strange, but there is convictions that are involved if you have meekness. Not only there are some strong principles. There's a principle that if you mess with some of these folk here, you may get in trouble with us. For example, the elders, we talked about this, we haven't implemented it, but if something were happening, somebody came in here, this church, this meeting room, and were trying to do something to harm us, that we have a plan that we would hope that would be instituted, and that we would do what we can. We have a strong man in the back, and we got these fellows. There's a fellow here. He has been trained in jiu-jitsu. And I said to Brother Bob, if he was being, the man was going to shoot him, if I didn't step between the man and Bob, I wasn't really a brother to him. But we have chairs, and I'm simply saying, lay flat, get on the floor, take the chair, hold it around. It may deflect bullets. I'm saying it's happened. It happens almost every week in the United States that something, someone tries something in religious circles. I don't know if I got that across or not, Brother Bob, but I hope you got the point. We have principles. Not only that, we have convictions, and we would come to defend you, even if it meant the loss of our own lives. And so, men, I hope you'll be with me, that we would look out for one another. How'd I get on that? Well, spiritual meekness has convictions. It has principles. It's not wimps. It is a person who does not fight back, but if something happens, going to happen to a loved one or a fellow Christian, you are to defend them, or else you're worse than an infidel. Well, that's fine. What's the rest of this verse? Got anything better to hear? Well, that's still good. And that there's the what it promises. You like to hear the good side of things? It says, those who have Christian meekness, they will be blessed. And they will inherit the earth. Oh my. Let's talk about inheritance. When someone says, you know, you're on my will. I say, well, that's interesting. Thank you very much. In the Old Testament days, under the Old Covenant, God promised the seed of Abraham the land of Canaan. And Canaan, as we understand it from a biblical viewpoint, was typical of a new earth or a heaven. And the Bible speaks about a new heaven and a new earth. You know that in the book of Revelation? I wonder if you know that if you're a child of God, that you have an inheritance. I think sometimes we ought to spend more time about it. It might be that we go back to the 21st chapter and spend just a moment there. A what? Look at your inheritance. Somebody says you're on my will. Say, well, fine. What's it involve? Well, chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 1 says, if you're a true Christian, this is what you can experience. John the Beloved, he said he saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there's no more sea. We're in this first earth. You know that, you don't, your friends? And it's going to pass away. It's going to be a new earth. A new heaven, a new earth. Say, well, I don't know how wonderful it is. Well, you ought to read it. I'm not going to take the time here and read this, all the things that would be no more need for all these things. It's a great passage, a great chapter. And then the 22nd chapter, all these no mores. But what it really is saying is, the day is coming when there will be a new Eden. The Garden of Eden in the Old Testament, you know, before they fell, Adam and Eve. Well, there'll be a new Eden, and it'll be a perfect place. And if you're a Christian, your inheritance is that you have part of that, or you enjoy that new heaven, the new earth especially. You say, well, everybody's going to enjoy it. Oh, no. In Proverbs, it speaks that the wicked is going to be cut off. If we're back to Matthew, we'll turn to 24th chapter of Matthew and say, what are you trying to say? Not everybody is going to experience the inheritance that is promised to those who have Christian meekness, and that is there's going to be something like this that you probably ought to try to understand, the 24th chapter, and look at verse 40. See, there's two that'll be in the field. One shall be taken, and the other left. there'll be two women shall be grinding the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Listen, friends, our blessed Lord is coming again. And when he comes, he's coming in judgment. And those who do not know him, they will be judged. They will be sentenced. They will not be part of the new earth. They, as the Bible says here to them, that they're going to be cut off and they'll be taken out, and they'll be destined to their judgment. But not so with the believers. One shall be left, a new earth. I tell you, if you really want it in full, let's go back to the passage I believe the Lord is referring to on this business of the beatitude of meekness, and it's Psalm 37. And with this, I'll close. Psalm 37, I believe he had direct reference to Psalm 37 in explaining about the blessedness of being meek and in the inheritance of the earth. And our blessed Lord did that. He used the Old Testament to explain. He used it in the New Testament. This is a beautiful passage, and some of you have heard it from me before, for I use it. Psalm 37. And since we haven't had a scripture reading, I think that I'll read the first 11 verses, and in honor of the Word of God, why don't we just take a stand and stand, please, and let me read this. For I believe this is what the Lord had reference to in Matthew 5:5. This is the Word of God. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evil doers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be, but the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight himself in the abundance of peace. This is the Word of God. Please be seated. That's a lovely passage. Well, how do you get this connected with Matthew 5:5? Our Lord, in explaining the Beatitudes, he says, and I know it's a direct reference, and he refers to Psalm 37. Friends, spend just a little more time with me as we look. You know, this business of inheritance, it's talking about inheritance that's superior to anything earthly. It's talking about the prosperity of the wicked. Now, I thought it was quite bold of the Sun Gazette to put on the headlines of a paper, was it last week, about a supervising principal of Laurel Sock High School going to go to State College to be a supervising principal, and telling how much he's going to make. We never used to tell people what they made. Do you know what that comes out to? $600 a day times 5 days is $3,000 a week. Now, if that doesn't do something to you, you'd say, wow, that's a lot of that's a lot of money. Yep, it is. You say, well, I don't even know I don't even know how to figure that one out. Say what you get. Or say if you're laid off of work. That could cause you to say Psalm 37, it ain't right. But he says, listen, don't you fret. Don't you fret. It may be that even though you have a little cottage or a little apartment, that you may be happier, that you may be blessed. Now, I hope the man knows the Lord. But if he doesn't know the Lord, he may have all that kind of wealth. You may not have maybe even poverty level. And yet if you know the Lord Jesus, he gives a satisfaction. And if you have a little cottage, yeah. Verse 1, Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You say, well, you're saying he's wicked? No, I'm not. It's a wider scope, but there are people like this, workers of iniquity. I'm not accusing that man of being a wicked man, and not at all. But it says they shall soon be cut down, like the grass, and they wither as the green herb. If you trust in the Lord, verse 3, and you do good, so shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now there is present application and there's future application to Psalm 37. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Don't tell me it isn't blessed to be a Christian, friends. Wonderful. If you commit your way, verse 5. A lot of people haven't done any of this. It's just words. Oh no, we're not just talking words. It's a word of God. And God says, if you delight thyself in me, the Lord, he said, I'll give thee the desires of thine heart. If you commit thy way, verse 5, unto the Lord, you trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. These are wonderful promises. This has to do with inheritance too. You'll soon find that out. And it says, if you rest in the Lord, verse 7, by the way, verse 6 I didn't read, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. If you rest in the Lord and you wait patiently for him, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. If you'll cease from anger. This is meekness, friends. This is talking about spiritual meekness. This is the characteristic of a Christian. The trusting the Lord, delighting in the Lord, committing your way to the Lord, and resting in the Lord, and ceasing from anger, and forsake wrath, verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. Now watch this inheritance. Stay with me. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in abundance of grace. Oh, friends, if we rest in the Lord, forsake wrath, we have an inheritance. The wicked shall be no more. They'll be removed in judgment and taken away. And the meek shall inherit the earth, and there'll be a delight. Does that sound like a blessed people to you? It does to me. Oh, Christians are to be meek. But we're not perfect, are we? Well, what are we going to do about it? Say, that's fine. You tell us what it's not, and you tell us what it is, and you tell us the promises of being blessed, and if you're a real Christian, and so forth, and so what they're going to do about it. Well, really, when it comes down to it, I'm going to have you go to one more place, is Galatians. One more spot. And you know where I'm going, don't you? Galatians 5. Chapter 5 of Galatians. Why are you going there? I'm asking you, what are we going to do? How can I become what the Lord really wants of me? What do I do? You know, it's the work of the Spirit of God. Look at verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit, it's capital letter S, that's the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Guest. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23. There it is. So I can't work it up. But the Spirit of God will give it to me if I know the blessed Lord Jesus. Meekness and temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. I think that's beautiful. The fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God will give it to us. Now the question comes down in closing. In light of that, have you been brought by the Holy Spirit to see that you are, verses 3 of Matthew 5 and verse 4 of Matthew 5, and now this morning, verse 5 of Matthew 5, have you been brought to a place to see that what it involves as far as sin and mourning over it, and then the Lord giving us, as a result, this meekness? Oh, friends, if you've not come to Christ, come today. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell Him that you know you're a sinner, that you know you're lost. You know that if you should die, that you would not go to heaven because you've never repented of your sins and you trust the Lord Jesus. The work that He did at the cross of Calvary. Not only did He die, but He was buried and He rose again the third day and He ascended into heaven. This is the one that you need, and you need to know Him personally. And I say, be a beggar. Where? Matthew 5, verse 3. Be a beggar. Say, well, I'm not going to go begging. Well, then you'll be cut off from the inheritance. For where it says that we need to, as it says here, verse 3, Matthew 5, we need to be a beggar, poor in spirit, and in order to be in the kingdom of God's kingdom. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're not a kingdom child. But if you don't understand, you're lost, and you still have, you mourn that you're not what you ought to be, and you see the situations all around you is terrible. And He says, I tell you this, that third rung of that ladder, I'll give you Christian meekness. And I tell you, you'll live a life that'll please Me. And you'll not fire back. And that you'll not be that tough and rough person. But you'll love the Lord Jesus. And you'll take Him as a model. And you'll take Moses as a model. And you'll take David as a model, because he also was another meek man in the Bible. Loved ones, take it to heart. This is the Word of God. Will you join with me in singing a closing hymn? Have Thine Own Way. And I like this. And it's for all of us, including the Christians. 574.
Divine.
Stand on the last.
Father, we do ask that as we have introspection in our own lives individually, not the neighbor next to me or side of me, not others that we think of at the moment, unless our desire for loved ones that they be genuinely saved, may we see the need of showing the characteristics that we ought to be, and that they may be demonstrated, for the world is the opposite. And they look at us and they say, what a paradox. A person like him, and yet he would act like he does. Help us to act and be like our Lord Jesus. And all those saints in the past that have the story of their lives are written in the Old Testament, showing how they performed as meek and mild, and how you blessed them. So, for your people here this morning, your blessings upon them, and for those who know not the Lord Jesus savingly, have mercy, Lord. Show them the need that they need to confess sin, confess Christ, trust Him, and ask for salvation. And now grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.